Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I love once more to be,
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me, how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me, how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive, Father, to this word, to give us greater understanding, Father, of the truth and the meanings as you have it recorded for us, Father, to give us strength of faith, strength of trust, and a closer walk with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now be with us, Father, throughout this study, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're in 1 Timothy. We'll be in getting into the fourth chapter this morning. But you know, what I want to share with you is I was telling Pastor Dennis here, we've come through the New Testament this far because we've been going through the Bible. And as we come through 1 Timothy 1 through 3, we have found a lot of things that is not taught or preached in our churches today that really needed to be taught. Because we're finding that a lot of it is going on in our churches that should not be going on. But it's because it's been left out. Now here in 4, in verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, that expressly means clearly. And to depart means to apostatize. And the apostasy is the deliberate and permanent rejection of Christianity after a perverse profession of faith in it. Doctrines of devils. That is doctrines taught by demons. Now, you say, how is demons teaching? I don't go no place with these demons. Oh, yes, we do. Yeah, it happens. Because two will let us know. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot arm. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. You know, the demons, verse 1, expound their doctrines not directly but indirectly through such human ministers. These are further described as having their conscience seared with a hot arm that is branded, scarred, further describes as having their conscience permanently defaced. The moral in the moral life of these hypocrites is scarred by sin as they carry around the awareness of their guilt, yet continue preaching to others. Think about these things. Now 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And, you know, that gives us 2 examples of demonic doctrines which are cited right there in this verse 3. And that's the prohibition against marriage and 2, abstaining from certain foods. When we see that in church, we should know that we need to stay away from there. Now 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received thanksgiving. Every creature of God is good, or everything created by God is good. In this substance, the remark that God created foods to be eaten, not abstained from. 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You see, this is one reason that we do say grace at mealtime. If it is said from the heart in truth and in sincerity, is because we know that God can bless that food to sustain the body as we each need it. Whatever work we need done in the body. Now, but even a lot of people that will sit down for a meal, they'll have different ones at different times, say grace, as they call it, you know. But it's not really heartfelt. It's just words. It didn't really come from the heart. When we are giving God thanks in any way and for any purpose, it needs to be from the heart. Now, the word of God declaring all foods fit for man and by the believers, giving of thanks before meals and by prayer of food is sanctified. This means food is set apart and reserved for consumption by Christians. Now 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. You know, that's the thing right there. Places where they won't believe in these things. They don't teach them either. And they are doing a lot of things that they shouldn't be doing because they are walking with, as the scripture tells us, their conscience has been seared. They just don't teach others about it. And they build groups on lies. That's exactly what happens. They're building these groups on lies and believing that everything is all right when it's not. Verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Well, you know, we may read the verse, but avoid profane and fabricated myths and exercise yourselves to be godly. These false doctrines called myths are described as profane because they promote ungodliness, and fabricated because they, like modern-day soap operas, are silly and flighty in character. Not only must Timothy avoid false teaching, he must spare himself no pain and effort to be pious. Godliness does not come automatically to obtain holiness. He must be diligent in prayer, Bible study, obedience, fellowshipping with other believers, and Christian service. And these are things that we all need and need to do. It's what Paul is letting Timothy know that he needs. We need the same thing. And even more so in today than even in times before. And you know, there was a time, and it hasn't been all that long. I'm not talking about hundreds of years back, but I am talking quite a few years back, because in my younger childhood days, and my days of growing up through my teen years, we didn't have all this difference in the teaching in our churches. Right here in the county where we live, at that time, basically, there was three different churches here. You had the Catholic Church, you had the Methodist Church, and you had a Baptist Church. And basically, that was it. And it really didn't matter which one of the, if you was Protestant, which one of the Protestant churches you went to, because they both taught the same thing. They both taught this word. And they even intermingled. And if something happened that a Methodist preacher couldn't be at his church, you may go and the preacher preaching might be a Baptist preacher in that total. Or you might go to the Baptist church and find a Methodist preacher in that total. You won't do that today. Uh-uh. that you haven't been through their seminary, you're not going to get in their podiums. And, you know, when the Lord first called me to the ministry, the first 3 years, he kept me doing evangelist work, traveling from church to church. And I have preached in a lot of different churches. But you don't get in the Methodist unless you've been through their seminary. And there are several others that are the same way. And now, even within the Baptist denomination, as they call it, if you are a fundamental independent Baptist, you're not going to be able to do any teaching into a Southern Baptist church. They have split just that bad. We have, right here in this county, we have got a fundamental independent Baptist church. We've got the General Baptist Church. We've got a Southern Baptist Church. We got the First Baptist Church. We got Calvary Baptist Church. Because they couldn't get along and they would have to split up. And they want nothing to do with each other. You think it's going to be that way in heaven? No, it's not. And it's all because they quit teaching the word of Almighty God out of the Bible as it is written. And they went to playing with it. And look what they've done. Look how many different Bibles we've got today. I can't even name them all. Not many different ones we've got. All right, now, verse 8. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You know, the physical exercise is limited value, but godliness, the result of spiritual exercise, has unlimited value since it brings blessings for both now and eternity. It's something you can take with you. 9. This is a faithful thing and worthy of all acceptation. What we just read there in 8, the word is telling us there in verse 9, that this is a faithful thing and worthy of all acceptation. But most don't want to accept these things. They want their own way of doing things, their own thoughts, instead of God's way and His thoughts. It's not what I believe. It's not what I think. My opinion, no. It is what it says. It's what we are supposed to live. 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now, you know that 10th verse there has a lot of truth in it, because once you try to labor within the Word of God and you are teaching in speaking the truth of God's word, you will find all kinds coming against you, talking against you. They'll lie on you and about you and do everything they can do to tear your reputation down instead of working with you to help build the Lord Jesus Christ up. And you know, the thing about it is, I'm not here to please man. I am not here to even please myself. I am here and have been called to share the truth of God's word with all that will listen and receive it. Because I don't give the increase. Only God can do that. My work is to share what he gives to me and has me to speak. Because you see, I don't do the speaking. Holy Spirit puts in my heart and my mind what's for me to say and what's for me to do. And so therefore, you want to be mad at me and you want to come against me, that doesn't bother me at all, because I know that you're not really coming against me as a person. You're coming against the Spirit of Almighty God. And that's something that is between you and him. Now, 11. These things command and teach. 12. These things we've come so far, reading and all, Paul is telling Timothy there in verse 11, these things command and teach. 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You know, prevent some from despairing his youth. Timothy is to be an example of and for the believers in the area of word and conversation and in conduct and in charity, the love for those that are treating him well and ill, and in spirit, in his attitude, and in faith, because of his trusting God in good and bad times and in purity, in sexual purity and integrity of life. These are things that we need to be constantly reminded of, because a lot of them are things that if we're not, we forget all about. Now, 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You know, in his Ephesian ministry, Timothy is to read and teach the scriptures and exhort God's people to obey the truths that are learned. And that's what it should be all about. But if you that have TVs and things, if you will get on television and go to Daystar and watch some of those troubles, you'll find what we are talking about this morning. A lot of things that are being taught that should not be. Now, there are some good ones on there, too. But you'll see a lot of things that's being taught in our churches that should not be also. And you can also go to Channel 21 here around the area where I live, which is WDRB, which is another Christian channel, and you'll find a lot there taught that should not be. 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Stop neglecting the spiritual gifts which is in you. Evidently, he had not been fulfilling all the responsibilities of his gift and was that had been given to Timothy by prophecy, that is through utterance of some New Testament prophets, and the church was informed of the divine enablement granted him. And this was prompted by the laying on of hands of the church elders in recognition of the fact that God had called Timothy to the ministry and had gifted him for it. And we all have gifts. We all may not carry the same gift, because they are gifts that we just won't use and don't use. And God's not going to give you something you're not going to use. Now, you see, God does not force anything on us. He'll give us what we need and all, and what we want, as long as it in accord with him and his word. But he's not going to give you something that he would have to force on you. No. That's why we have choices. Now, 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear to all. And 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Times in this chapter we have seen this word doctrine. What doctrine is he talking about? The Baptist doctrine, the Methodist doctrine, the Lutheran doctrine, Catholic doctrine? No. He's talking about the doctrine that you're holding in your hand if you're holding his word. That's the doctrine he's talking about. The apostles' doctrine. That's the doctrine we are told several places throughout the New Testament to walk in and to teach. And we're told if we come preaching any other doctrine, then we're cursed. So we don't want to do that. When he told us there in 16, he's talking about the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, this here he's talking about, does that mean that everybody that hears it is going to be saved? No. He's talking about those that hear it and accept it and believe it and start living it. there's a difference in hearing. You can hear the word of God and not ever do it. And that's what's going on today in the world. They'll hear, but they don't never do. And they don't never speak it. And they're going to step out of this life one day lost, just as lost as they can be. You know, I'm not going to get in to the fifth chapter, because we've been right now about a half hour. But I'm going to see here if Brother Dennis has got anything he'd like to say. Anything you'd like to say this morning to the people? Okay. Come on over here.
Well, that's just basically a continuation of what he was saying. But I'm going to take it a little further. I'm going to kind of relate it to the end times, but at the same time, I want to show you how things in the Old Testament, things in the New Testament are the exact same thing, but we don't see it that way. And because we don't see it that way, we see things differently than what they probably initially designed. Let's go to Genesis 3:6. I want to take that. The first thing we need to understand is we're in the end times. We are definitely walking up on the end times. And what we're going to look at quickly for just a second is basically the sin that caused all that trouble, basically. But it's a threefold sin, and people don't see it. All they see is they took fruit. It's a threefold sin. And that threefold sin is what we're literally doing right now. Each and every one of us, whether we realize it or not, or know it or not, we're doing that immortal sin every single day. So, we'll read that a more time. So, we'll start with verse 4, chapter 3, Genesis. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. So that is in and of itself, sure. And all kinds of warnings to her. But and when the woman saw the tree, saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, I want you to hold your place there. Thank you there. Now, go to 1 John, chapter 1, chapter 2. Look at verse 6. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but of this world. Now let's go back to Genesis 3, and we're going to flip back and forth. But I want you to fully understand what's going on here. Because a lot of people will just say to you that the lust of the flesh is, sexual immorality and things like that. But when you really break it down, it gets a lot deeper than all that. And that's the point that I want to find to. So, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Okay? That's right there. So, our first one over here, John. For the lust of the flesh. Okay? So, not only is it something for sex and immorality, it's, she did it. She thought it was good for food. The flesh of the fruit. Okay? But that could be anything. That could be you wanting to have what your neighbors have. It could be wanting to have a new car. It could any number of things. Wanting to put your kid in some high fancy school like that. Whatever it is, got to have the, a name brand something or other instead of going out and getting some generic something, whatever it is, just because you think that it makes you look better. You can't go out there and get a Yugo, for example. You got to go and get a Maserati, It's the lust of the flesh. Okay? Now let's look at the second one. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. Go back to John. And the lust of the eyes. It's right off the bat. I mean, it's literally saying the exact same thing. And the lust of the eyes, that could be any number of things as well. It could be a man looking at a woman. It could be a woman looking at a man. It could be, I'm guilty of this, but I'm just a car person. It could be going out there and seeing this real nice old antique car and just going, man, I'd love to have that thing. Really, it's the same thing. And people, we all do it. We may not know we do it, but we all do it. It could be anything. I mean, it don't have to be a sexual thing. Everybody wants to put sex in everything. It don't have to be a sexual thing. It could be anything. It could be you wanting, what's coming up? We've got Black Friday coming up next week. Everybody's got to go get one of these, expensive TVs or whatever it is. Whatever they got on sale, that's a prime example. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, both together at the same time. All right, so now let's go to the very next one. And the tree to be desired to make one wise. And what's the third one over here? The pride of life. Imagine that. Now this is the one that's going to give us some trouble. I'm not going to lie to you. This is the one that's going to get us all in trouble. Because, I'm probably going to get it skipped off YouTube here. But what just happened? We had this so-called, And all you heard, I mean, it was out of every voice out there. Trust the science. Continuously.
What do you want?
Between John, the first John and Genesis 3.
Yeah, check.
And when first John 2 and chapter 3 of Genesis.
Well, I knew that.
Yeah, I'm just talking right now.
I was talking about third John.
Yeah, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 16. Yeah, so the pride of life, you know, they were pushing an agenda. I mean, let's just come right out and say it. They were pushing an agenda, which was ultimately where I was wanting to go with it, was the agenda that they were pushing. But they were pushing an agenda. Because if you go and read some several places, but, you know, chapter 17, verse 26, it tells us that in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. That's what Christ said. He's saying whenever he comes back his second time to get us all, it's going to be just like the days of Noah. So then you got to sit back and you got to figure out what the days of Noah was. You've got the really conservative bunch out there that says the days of Noah was, you know, it was just bad because they were all mean and because they were, you know, the sons of Cain were marrying the sons of Seth. Well, that's hogwash. You know, you read the Bible, you got to study it. I mean, I don't want to lie to you. You got to do some digging. But you see that that's absolutely not true. Because some of those days, Jude, it says, the angels, the fallen angels, talks about the fallen angels. You know, what happens, and I'm not going to get into a long story here, just keep it nice and brief. The point is, they screwed up the DNA. They screwed up. That's why it says there was no clean man. At the time, there was reason because of a flood. There was no clean DNA. The men were corrupt. The DNA was corrupt. So that was the point behind it, because of the Babylons and all that stuff, which is a whole, I think that's a whole hour and a half or two, really. We're not getting into that. It's neither here nor there at this particular point. The point is they were already corrupting our DNA now. And by doing so, your DNA is changed even by one little thing that makes you not human. It turns you into a chimera. So the only people that can be saved and go to heaven are pure human beings. So it behooves you to understand that and to know that and to do your own little research, whether it be biblical or actually seeing what they're truly doing to you now. They're pumping all this garbage in you. You're eating foods that are genetically modified. Who knows what that's going to do? You need to be aware of all this stuff, and you need to study it, both biblically and scientifically, by the way, to see what's going on. You know, there's a lot more going on here in the end times than people want to admit to. You know, when people start talking about some of this stuff like I'm talking about right now, they want to call you conspiracy theorists or a nut. But it's going on. It's literally going on right now. And you got to be aware of that stuff. When you turn on your TV, even to this day, they're pushing some kind of vaccine. They're pushing some kind of garbage to be pushed into your body. But they're pushing it. And 10 years ago, was they pushing vaccines? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They were not. But you had to get certain vaccines. And I'm not saying vaccines in and of themselves are bad. But whenever they're pushing them, I mean, you turn the TV on and that's all you see is some Pfizer commercial or some Moderna commercial. That'll want to tell you something. It'll be ringing bells to you. There's something going on here that ain't good. And before you put something into your body, you need to back up and ask them, well, what is it? What is it? Now, what's the short-term effect? What's the long-term effects? What's the ingredients? Because, you know, those are all passed several years ago that requires before they can put anything into your body. They have to answer those questions to your satisfaction. Nothing can be forced on you. That's the law. If you do it, you're doing it by your own. You're doing it by your own accord. Oh, and by the way, I'm not saying that that's the mark of the beast, but by the way, that's how you will take the mark of the beast as well. By your own accord. Now, whether it be through your own ignorance, that's your own fault. Yep. You took it. Well, I didn't want to take it, but you look down, you took it. It wasn't forced on you. You know, that's why we preach the Bible, so you understand this stuff, so you can understand what's going on. You can be aware of the things that's going on, and you can study them and relate this stuff. The world scenario based off of what's going on biblically. And you have to study. I just showed you literally something in the very first book of Genesis. Well, in the very first book, which is Genesis, in the third chapter, which, by the way, that one, that's the very first prophecy in the Bible, relates to that. And the devil hadn't changed. The devil hadn't changed at all. We are still fighting those exact same things. He's dangling that fruit out in front of us. Whether he's getting, you know, remember, it's a three-part dangle there. He may not get you this dangle, but he'll get you with this one over here. And you need to be aware of what that is. You need to be aware of all the different aspects that can entail. You know, don't just think that everything is about one particular subject. There's a whole myriad of things out there. The Bible is very, very deep. Very deep. And the deeper you get into it, the deeper you find that it is. But he figured out because God told him that he was going to crush his head. Literally what it says, he's going to crush his head. So from that day on, he says, I got to stop this. I got to stop it. I got to figure out a way to stop my head from being crushed. So his very first attempt was to corrupt the DNA. If there ain't no men out there, then because he knows, because it says the seed of the woman, women don't have seed, that tells him right off the bat that it's going to be a virgin that's going to have this child. It's going to crush his head. So he starts right off the bat, quash that whole thing. So he crushed the DNA of all mankind and all the animals out there. It forces God to have to start from scratch. But he really didn't start from scratch. He just destroyed everything and kept a very few that he had and went on about his business. That was the flood. Noah and his family. You see, something else that people, and I'm going to stop here in a second, but I want to get into something that we think there's stuff. But something else that people really don't think about, really don't understand. People think that that flood, just a few days or months after they got kicked out of the garden, almost 2,000 years, just shy of 2,000 years from the flood was. So, pay attention. Really pay attention to what goes on in the Bible. Everything is separated by 2,000 year mark. Everything. 2,000 years this, 2,000 years that, 2,000 years this. Guess what? It's been 2,000 years since Christ is here. Between Abraham and Christ, 2,000 years. When they get kicked out of the Garden of Eden, flood, 2,000 years. They have the 7,000 year mark right now. Something to think about. Everything happens in series. Everything was done on a 7-day cycle. And then broken down into 2,000-year segments. They're at the end of that 2,000 years now. And we're also at the 7,000-year mark, which means you need to start getting yourself ready and start looking up. Because it's coming. Whether that be today, tomorrow, next week, next year, who knows? There's still a couple of little small things that have to happen. But those small things, the way they happen, just like that,
yep.
You're not paying attention to what's going on. Literally. Okay? One of the things that has to happen is the Antichrist has to come on the scene. Okay? You have to have a one world government come on the scene. All that has to happen to bring that one world government on the scene as them to raise their hand and say, I. That's literally all they had to do. It could happen today if they wanted it to happen today. Just like that. And out of that comes out of us. So, pay attention. Pay attention. And if that pandemic didn't teach you anything, if it didn't teach you anything at all, understands, they said that it was physically impossible for every country on this world to get together and do the exact same thing. They did it. Every country on this planet was in lockstep. So they just proved all the naysayers wrong right then and there. Okay? That was a practice run. Okay? People can't figure all this stuff out. That was a practice run. The real one's coming. So I just, grab the bootstraps. Because it's just coming and it's going to be a practice run. You've seen how bad that was. Okay? You ain't seen nothing yet. They know all the things that they did wrong. They know all the things they did right. I promise you they all come full force. So get yourself right. Understand what this book says. And pray. And get yourself right. Build your faith because I promise you, you only need it. With that, I'm going to close. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your message that you've given us today. Thank you for all the wonderful things that you've given us. Thank you for giving your son for us. We pray, Father, that you would be with all the fathers that have been given. We pray that you would be with Israel. And also that you would be with all the people in Palestine. Also, the people being killed and murdered on both sides. Please be with them and give them the strength to understand and hear your word and help your son Jesus. That way we can bring all both sides together and Jesus. We pray that you be with all the little babies that are being murdered. We pray that all that will stop as well. And for all the people that's on our parables, doing the things that they need. That they need to be taken care of. All this we pray in Jesus' name.
Man, I got a little brain, though. You got a little
one. I got a brain, though, first.
Oh, first?
Yeah. My water died on me.
Huh?
Said my water died on me.
Oh, water.